You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, my CEO series continues with Robert Scott from Wesfarmers. Qantas posts its second biggest profit ever, and investor concerns about the independence of the US Federal Reserve. We'll tell you about that and more next. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 28th of August, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose by 0.2% on the S&P ASX 200 on a big reporting day, including Qantas. We'll have the details with Angus Geddes from Fat Profits in a few moments. But we'll start with Bunnings and Kmart owner Wesfarmers. It posted a near $3 billion full-year profit. That's up 14% and declared a $2.06 per share full-year dividend, and a special distribution worth $1.50 per share. Its CEO, Rob Scott, told me that consumer confidence is improving, but there are industry concerns about retail crime, especially in one Australian state. Rob, first of all, in addition to a higher full-year dividend, you're planning on delivering a special distribution of $1.50 per share. What message are you trying to send shareholders?
Well, most importantly, the special distribution through capital management is a message to shareholders that we're always looking out for their interests. Wesfarmers for many years has been very focused on delivering long-term shareholder returns. And as a result of strong performance of our businesses and some recent portfolio management activity, including selling the Coregas business, it's given us the capacity to do a special capital return and additional fully franked dividend. So this is all about optimising the outcome for shareholders.
I hate to pore over every single word of your release, just like I do as with the RBA statement that comes out, right? But I'm curious because your outlook statement notes that Wesfarmers remains well positioned to deliver satisfactory returns to shareholders over the long term. Just satisfactory?
Well, that's been our corporate objective since listing as a company in 1984, and perhaps the word satisfactory is symbolic of the very understated farming heritage of Wesfarmers. But just to be clear, we define satisfactory as being a top quartile return over the long term. So we define we're not satisfied, in other words, unless we can deliver a return that is in the top 25% of all listed companies in Australia. And to date, at least, we have been successful at delivering on that over a 5-year, 10-year, or even longer-term horizon.
Okay, can we talk about the economy? You say you're seeing a modest improvement in consumer demand. How is this being reflected in your businesses?
Well, we have seen a slight improvement in consumer demand. That's flowing through in some slightly better sales in Bunnings since the end of June. We've seen a continuation of the strong performance in Kmart. A really interesting data point that I think is a positive sign is that we've seen customers start to buy more of what we call the one-up and the two-up products within the Anko Kmart range. So this is the slightly more valuable product, still phenomenal prices, phenomenal value, but slightly more style, better quality. And I think that is a sign that there's slightly more capacity from households to spend a bit more.
Since you mentioned Kmart, Kmart's interesting because earnings are up 9.2%. And as you mentioned, customers are flocking to your Anko brand. This at a time when your rival Big W saw an earnings loss. What is Kmart doing right that Big W isn't?
Well, I think that Kmart's doing a lot of things that are very customer focused. So they are really focused on ensuring that we have the lowest prices, but not only the lowest prices, we want unique products of great quality. And what we're finding is it used to be, if I go back 10 years ago, it was the discount shoppers that were shopping in Kmart. Now we find that most Australian households and New Zealand households love shopping at Kmart because of the quality of the Anko products. So I think that singular focus on doing the right thing for customers is important. The other thing that I think is important is the sustainability credentials of Kmart. So Kmart ranks very highly on an international level around ethical sourcing, sustainability, and yes, customers want great value, but they also want trust in the products that they're buying.
You've previously highlighted the growing crime rate as an issue, particularly theft and customer aggression at Bunnings in the past, especially. This reporting season, we've heard from the likes of Super Retail Group, which has reported theft at its Rebel stores as a problem, particularly in Victoria. What's your experience been like?
Well, we've seen a very similar experience to other retailers. And look, I think the reason why all retailers are calling it out, including ourselves, is we care deeply about our team members, the safety of our team members, and also the safety of our customers that are coming into our stores. So this is an industry-wide issue that we really want to lean into and help resolve. And we are, you know, particularly in Victoria, where we're seeing a higher incidence of retail crime and a higher incidence of customer-threatening situations, we're really trying to enlist the support of government to enforce some more supportive legislation that we think will help reduce the incidence of retail crime.
Three final questions. Domestic cost pressures are expected to persist this year, and you say to mitigate this, you're going to execute productivity initiatives and AI is going to play a role. Can you expand on what kind of a role and what does this mean for job security?
Well, at least for the foreseeable future in our businesses, I see generative AI as being a real enabler of our team and supportive of better ways of working. So to give you two really good and simple examples, we have this fantastic use case leveraging AI in Bunnings where we've essentially captured all the very complex detailed product information across the 50,000 products we sell in Bunnings, and our team members now have access to this vast volume of product information through a voice-activated system. So this is just a great way of empowering our team to give even better service to customers. And similarly, looking at conversational commerce capabilities to help our customers discover on a digital basis all the products we have across the Wesfarmers Group.
You've mentioned or highlighted lithium, health and retail media as future earning streams. How so?
Well, look, each is quite a distinct opportunity, but we have invested a fair bit of money in a new health division. We've invested nearly $2 billion in an integrated lithium mine concentrator refinery. And then we've just recently set up a retail media business. Now, all of these opportunities represent really exciting opportunities for revenue growth in the next 3 to 5 years, but they're not currently, they're still in development phase and not really contributing in a meaningful way to our earnings. So I think this is a great example of Wesfarmers' track record of investing for the long term and building new businesses within the portfolio.
And Rob, just a final question on diversity. Wesfarmers, 50% women in board and leadership positions. Indigenous employment is at 3.8%, maintaining employment parity. How do you navigate diversity within your organisation?
Well, look, we feel that having a workforce that represents the community in which we operate and our customer base just makes perfect sense. And also, there are numerous benefits from having a diverse workforce in terms of the diversity of experience, thoughts, ethnicity, a whole range of things. And the more diverse our workforce is, then the better we're able to service our diverse customers and also have different perspectives that will help us drive continuous improvement. So for us, it's just a very logical approach. And look, it is all also about driving really strong performances. So we see a high-performance culture being aligned with having a diverse workforce as well.
It's Rob Scott there, the CEO of Wesfarmers. Let's take a look at the Australian share market now. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.2% to 8,980 points. Six of the five sectors on the index finished lower. The worst-performing energy brought down by Woodside, which did trade ex-dividend today. The best-performing sectors, though, were property and financial. Taking a closer look at the top and bottom stocks, the worst performer today on the 200 was Telix Pharmaceuticals, down 18.7%, followed by Nine Entertainment, 12% weaker. The best performers included Lifestyle Communities, up around 15%, and IDP Education, surging almost 30%. Qantas also made news today. Its shares hit a record high, closing up more than 9%. It followed its second best profit result ever, an underlying profit of around $2.4 billion. For more on that and the rest of the day's market action, I spoke with Angus Geddes, CEO of Fat Profits. Angus, reporting season really ramping up as we head to the end tomorrow. The two big ones today, Qantas and Wesfarmers. I spoke with the CEO of Wesfarmers earlier, Rob Scott. Curious to know what you make of those two results, in particular Qantas, because Qantas shares are at a record high. They're up 91% over the past year. It posted its second biggest underlying full-year profit ever today. Yet we had all these issues over the past year around wages, court issues, cyber issues too.
Look, Qantas is making great profits at the moment. You know, a lot of that is due to the fact that there's been very, very heavy loads on domestic and international flights. Jetstar was really a standout in the profit result, performing very well. And of course, you know, the market's quite excited about the additional planes that have been ordered. 20 A321s have been ordered, which will be able to travel domestic and international, and continue to actually bring Qantas's costs down. So they're in a very dominant position in Australia.
Overall, what are some of the reoccurring themes this reporting season? Because I think what we've seen was some really wild share price reactions on the day some results have been released.
Yeah, it's been hit and miss. So, you know, any company reporting an earnings beat has been well rewarded by investors. We're seeing quite big reactions after those profit results. But equally, you know, if companies are missing on guidance and there's any disappointment around those results, investors tend to be shooting first and asking questions later. So it has been, we have seen a lot of dispersion throughout the earnings season.
Interest rates also in focus. So Donald Trump, as we mentioned in the podcast yesterday, threatening to remove a federal governor there. Here, inflation figures are hotter than expected. How's the market feeling about the global interest rate environment?
Well, I think the bond market is pricing in almost a certain rate cut in September. And we've seen, you know, short end interest rates go much lower in the US. But interestingly, the 30-year Treasury bond has actually not moved much at all. In fact, it's been quite stable at around 4.9%. This says that this points to investors actually being quite uncomfortable about what's going on at the Federal Reserve. You know, should the White House stack that board with a whole lot of dovish governors, then, you know, the issue of Fed independence then really comes into question, and the market will probably be quite worried about that independence being undermined.
And so finally, with that kind of an environment that we may be facing, what are you telling your clients right now and where do you see the opportunities?
Look, I believe there's a coming drop in the US dollar once the Fed begins aggressively easing interest rates over there. And also, you know, we talked about the bond market not taking it quite that well with Fed independence being compromised. The same is likely true for the US dollar. So, you know, I think the gold sector, the Australian gold miners are where to be at the moment. And, you know, as we saw during earnings season, the Australian gold miners have had some of the strongest profit results in the June quarter, or June half, I should say.
It's Angus Geddes there from Fat Profits. That wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. Tomorrow, reporting season pretty much concludes, the laggards being Virgin Australia and Harvey Norman to come out with numbers tomorrow. If you do enjoy the podcast, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and don't forget to click subscribe. I'll see you tomorrow. This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.